All right, so today's message is going to be about this. It's going to be about Jacob's trust. I call this message Jacob's trust because I really want you to put your name into this. And what I mean by that is, what does it look like to have Michael's trust, Edwin's trust, Genesis's trust, Megan's trust? And the question I have for you today is, what does your trust look like? What is trusting in God? So let's go to Proverbs 3:5. It says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Let's do that one more time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not some of your heart, not a little bit of it, all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. A couple months ago, my wife and I, we went to Disneyland, and we had a great time, and there's a picture right there if you want to see it. That's just me and my wife having fun. When we were dating, my wife and I was always telling me, oh, we need to go to Disneyland. And I told her, after we get married, we'll go. And I was there, and I went on the roller coasters, and I don't like roller coasters at all. And I went on this one ride. It's called Incredicoasters, I believe. It's like 55 miles per hour. And I know the MPH because I actually had to research it because I get scared and I throw up. So I went on it and I did not feel good. And so if you like roller coasters, you should go on that ride. And we love going Disneyland. And then I'm a 90s kid, so I was not seeing Tarzan. I didn't see Aladdin. I didn't see any of these characters that I love. But hey, it's okay. I still love Disneyland. But the main part of the Disneyland trip, we watched Rogers, that's what it's called, the musical. And we love the show. It's like Captain America. We're huge Marvel fans. And I remember watching it. We're like, wow, this is so good. Like the Hulk was in there, Iron Man, Black Widow, and Spider-Man. So we were watching that. And so we got so excited that we went home and we watched the older shows. My wife was telling me she saw like Tarzan, the live action. And I'm like, man, that must have been really tough with the acrobatics and just like the flips. And you know, Tarzan, the movie, you know, he's in the jungle guy. And so there's a lot of tricks in there. So we watched that. And then we were like thinking like, hey, let's just keep going. Forget Tarzan, let's go to Aladdin because that's the bomb. And so we love watching Aladdin. We watched it and we always just wait for that one part. Like we saw Aladdin so many times. We saw it on a Broadway show. We saw it at this church called Three Crosses. They did it like a live action, like a live musical at Three Crosses in Castro Valley. And so we're just like, yes, let's wait for that the part where they sing A Whole New World. I'm not gonna sing it though, but you guys know the song, right? And so, you know, it's cool because, you know, they go on the air, you know, and I'm like, man, I'm so scared. And it's like, that's like the riskiest part, right? Where they can get injured. And so they go on this magic carpet ride and we know the song, it's so beautiful. I sing it with my friends. Andrew, buddy, you're back there, the prophet man. Him and I don't know why we bumped that song on the car and we just sing it. I don't know why I sing the Jasmine part, but you know, and he sings the man part. I don't know how that role came about, but we just sing that song, A Whole New World. And so can we just put that slide up? And I just want to prepare you guys. There is this scene that seems to impact me every single time. I hope you guys are getting this. The Whole New World song is awesome. But I don't know why this part really strikes me. Before they go on the magic carpet ride, Aladdin reaches for Princess Jasmine and says, "Do you trust me?" And I don't know why this happens to me. Maybe you resonate with me with this. I believe a lot of you hear God's word when you are reading the Bible. Right? I feel like maybe many of you hear God's word when the preacher talks. Maybe you feel like God is here right now speaking to you. But some of you, you might be hiking in the woods and you hear God. No one's speaking. You just hear trees and chirping and squirrels, right? And I feel like sometimes, maybe for some of you who love music, you would listen to an artist, you're like, yes, God's speaking to me. Taylor Swift, I don't know how, but you're speaking to me. I know, Megan, don't worry, I know. Just play along with me here. All right. And so, and another way for me personally, I feel like God speaks to me in movies. Yeah. And God does speak to you with different channels. He'll speak to you with God's word. He might speak to you through a person, your friends, different relationships, music, and also movies as well. And so every time I see this scene of Aladdin, I don't know why Aladdin's face switches to Jesus and says, do you trust me? And this is the question I have for you all today, is this, do you trust God? Like, do you really trust him? Like, I know you believe in him. I know you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. I know you believe in salvation. And you may even believe in the gift of tongues and prophecy, but do you actually trust Jesus? Good. Do you believe that he's going to take you around the whole world on this ride and having an adventure with him? I want to illustrate this point as we go further. I want to show you this research study. And this is by James Davis here. And can we put that slide up? And this is the most trusted brands. And you guys might recognize these brands. We all love Nike. We all love Amazon.com, Nordstrom, and Apple, and FedEx, and Starbucks, and Coca-Cola. Well, they say that the successful businesses, what requires of them to be successful is trust. If you go to Nike store, you trust that you're gonna look good with that shoe on, right? When you go to Amazon.com, you know you're gonna get that refund. You know you're gonna get that two-day shipping. And I wanna show you this next slide real quick. And this is the funny part. Do you guys see a difference in this slide? Jesus, if he had a brand, what would it look like? It's the cross, it's awesome. So we added Jesus into the mix here. And this is my point for today, and it's this. Which company, let's go back, a punchline will come later, okay. Which company do you trust the most? I'm looking at Amazon.com because I'm like, wow, two-day shipping. That's awesome. They're gonna answer my request, right? And then maybe even Nordstrom, we could return our shoes. So let's go to the next slide. So I wanna just use Amazon as an example. And it says, do you trust Amazon.com more than Jesus? Of course the right answer is Jesus. But in reality, you know that if you press the button, you get that Kindle button going, and then you just get it to your Kindle right away. You know that if something goes wrong with your product, you can just return it. But with Jesus, when you pray to him, you don't actually get the prayer request right away. You don't get that two-day prayer request. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, and maybe Jesus delivers you something. Maybe he tells you to do a ministry or a business and there's trouble along the way. You can't say, oh, Jesus, can I return this to you? I don't want it. I don't like this ministry. I don't like this deliverance thing that's going on. I don't like what I have to do with this business and all this customer service that I have to do. I'm returning it. You can't do that with God. And James Davis, when he shared these slides, he says this, trust is choosing to be vulnerable and take risks. And this is so hard for me. When I read that, I'm like, wow, okay, so these companies are saying like, hey, if we are vulnerable and we're taking risk with these companies, every day, you go to McDonald's, you're taking a risk. I don't know if that hamburger's actually good, but you're taking a risk with that hamburger, right? You go to Nordstrom, you buy a shoe, you're taking a risk. You don't know if that shoe is really good, but you just like that brand. So trust is choosing to be vulnerable and take risk. And I want to let you know right now, I'm going to introduce a character that we all know and love. And this character has a vast story. I can't get to everything today. But this is a person who has so much internal conflict issues. So I want you to let you know that if you are a complicated person, you're in good company. Because Jacob is super complicated. I had to reread his story many, many times to figure out what is going on. There's a lot of internal conflict going inside of Jacob. There's a lot of hidden issues going on inside of Jacob. And by the way, he had to run away from his brother. What, for 20 plus years, for two decades? You're in good company. Maybe for 20 years, you've been dealing with a conflict. Isn't that sad? Like, wow, we have this storm following us day in and day out. And we can't trust God to eliminate it. We can't trust God to have peace about it. I could have chosen like David, for example. Someone like David, where he would actually take somebody's wife and then have sex with her and then kill off the husband. How wicked is that, right? Or how about Moses, who was a murderer? I didn't choose him. And I also didn't even choose Peter, who denied Jesus three times. I chose Jacob today because he's so complicated. He has all these internal issues. And we're going to address his behavior and what he's doing today. And I just want to let you know something about Jacob. I love it because there's a psychology class that is happening. I love scripture, not just because it addresses my theology, but it addresses my psychology. I love scripture because it addresses my behavior and how I think. I think sometimes we forget that we're all about how the enemy attacks our mind, and we forget about that day in and day out, and we don't even know it. You're running away from Esau for years. You keep running and running. And I want to let you know today, I just want to declare before we dive into this message, you are imperfect, but God will still use imperfect people to fulfill his purposes. Amen. God is not looking for someone that is perfect. He's looking for someone broken. All right, so let's go into Genesis 25, and then we're going to look at Jacob right now. From the very beginning here. And so here we go. Genesis 25, 22, 24 to 26. It says this. The children struggled together within her. And she said, if it is thus, why is this happening to me? This is Rebekah speaking, Jacob's mom. So she went to inquire of the Lord. When her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hair cloak. They called his name Esau. So we know what Esau means, hairy and red. 26, afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. All right, there's a lot to unpack here. I'm going to go with a firstborn blessing here. I want to let you know something. In this culture for Jacob, I don't even know why he grabbed the heel, because he's not even like conscious about it. I mean, he just literally came out of the womb. He's like a baby just grabbing the heel. Can you imagine that? I mean, I don't know if God set that up, but I think there's such an importance of double blessing when you are the firstborn. I want to use an illustration. In my culture, as a Korean American, I remember my dad and mom would call each other this name. And they would say, Yongo Appa or Yongo Omma. Yongo's my middle name. So my Korean name is actually Kim Yong-o. And so they would say, Yongo Appa, come over here. Or Yongo Omma, come over here. So I went up to my parents and I said, why do you guys call each other like my name, you know, when you guys talk to each other? And it's because they said, you are the firstborn son. You're the first. And I'm like, okay, that's great. I don't know. Well, I don't know what that means. I mean, you can call my younger brother, you know, Mino Appa or something. That's his Korean name, Mino. And so there's an importance of just firstborn in my culture. But I would say in their culture, it's even more important because the blessing, the double portion, and the carrying on of the name goes forever. And here's the thing. It could have been this, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and then it should have been the God of Esau. But it's actually the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. But he wanted that firstborn blessing. He wanted it so much that he grabbed the heel. He wasn't even conscious about it. And he's like, no, it's about me. I need to grab that firstborn blessing. And it's almost like a prophetic sign what is about to happen in a very negative manner. Because he's like, it's all about me. I need it. It could have been better if he didn't grab it and he didn't try to trick his brother Esau, but yeah, there's a trickery that was about to happen. He did not trust God. He's a trickster, not a truster. And I think there's something so important about this, that at times we are always trying to grab at somebody's heel. Do you feel like that? Like, I don't know. Like for me in the work world, like when I was a minister at a church, like I was always looking up above someone above me. Like, I need to be like him. Like, I'm grabbing him. Like, I remember seeing, like, Benny Hinn for the first time. I need to be like him. Or I would see, like, Smith Wigglesworth, like, kicking and punching. Don't worry, I won't do that. And then they would get, like, healed. Like, we're trying to grab onto Smith Wigglesworth, right? Or we're trying to grab onto Apostle Michael because he can see everything. And we're trying to grab the heel of people. It's a me first mentality. It's all about me. And that's how we're trained in this world, because we're always trying to go above and beyond and get past that person. And it's like, hey, you know, I want the blessing, not you. I want it first. It's about me. And this is a psychological issue that is happening with Jacob, because he's already saying, man, I am not the firstborn. And you know what? My dad don't even like me. I'm not the favorite. It says that Rebekah is the one that favors Jacob. And then Isaac favored Esau. There's already abandonment issues going on with Jacob. I mean, how strange is this? Grabs a heel, already has a psychological damage, wants to be first, and is not even favored by his dad. Just born. It's so sad. I mean, I know, like, I'm putting so much on this right now, just this one passage. But look, Esau was this hunting person. He's like an outdoorsy guy. He likes to go use his bow and arrow. And Jacob is like this introverted, weird dude, and he likes to hang out with his mama, and he got the pot and the pan going, and he could cook so well. That's Jacob. In today's time, I mean, we would see those types of people. They're kind of like indoor, you know, they're probably gaming all day, watching movies, and there's a person, you know, that's more extroverted, go out, you know, maybe they go out to restaurants, and, you know, they meet with people, network. I mean, you want to hang out with the Esau guy, right? He's the cool one. Jacob's the weirdo. What's going on with Jacob? Stop grabbing heels, man. And so we see this passage of Jacob is like, I'm going to trick my brother Esau. I need this blessing. My dad don't even like me. So here we go, Genesis 25, 29 to 31. And it says this: once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, let me eat some of that red stew. Jacob's a good cook, for I am exhausted. Therefore, his name was called Edom. Jacob said, sell me your birthright now. Okay. Esau's going hunting. He hunts, gets the wild game for possibly his dad, because the scripture says that Isaac really loved Esau because he can hunt and he can get some wild game. He loves that meat. And so Jacob gets this plot. And this is so deceptive, almost devilish. Like, he kind of plotted this. And something interesting about this moment is scholars say that he was cooking the red stew, not because he was just cooking and he's just a weirdo just cooking, but he was actually cooking stew because Grandpa Abraham just died. And so there's this cultural thing that is happening with the food. For Korean culture, I related to this because on my birthday, my mother would always make this seaweed soup on my birthday. And anytime I try to get out of it, like, I don't want this seaweed soup. I want to, like, get out and not, I want that steak instead. No, you got to have this seaweed soup because it's a Korean culture. Don't make me come in there, right? So I would have the seaweed soup. And I feel like that's what's happening in this context. Perhaps they were celebrating Grandpa Abraham in this time. And then he would take advantage of the situation because now Esau's tired. And something interesting about this passage is the devil's really good at attacking you when you are exhausted. I just need to make that really clear. Like, if you're not on guard, I mean, he's going to take advantage of that situation. And sorry, Jacob, I know I'm not trying to say you're the devil, but that's a good devilish act. Like, if you're not on guard, the enemy's going to try to use that and take advantage of you. So Esau is taken advantage of. He's like, comes from hunting this one day, and he's like, I am so tired. Hey, there's that red stew. I want it. Jacob's like, oh, yeah, you can have it, all right. It's nothing special. It's just a can of beans. And then Esau's like, okay, I'll take it. It's great. Jacob's like, hey, sell me that birthright, and I'll give it to you. Oh, what good is this birthright if I'm so famished and tired? Give it to me. And then he takes it. I believe it's in Malachi 1:3. It says this: God hated Esau. I had to research that passage. I'm like, God hates? I actually read the Hebrew word for the word hate. You know what hate means in Hebrew? Hate. I believe it's called sane. That's the Hebrew word for it. It means hate. And so it was like Esau didn't even care about this birthright. And Jacob's the one who's like, I need to latch on to this. I'm the heel grabber. I need this birthright right now. And Esau, it looks like you're not caring about it. So I'm going to take it from you. I don't think this is good, like, honor system here. I feel like we lose that culture of honor sometimes where it's like, oh, my boss is not doing so good, but I'm going to take advantage of the situation. Instead of honoring them, we curse them out. And so here we go. When we have this other incident that takes place now. Now, Jacob's like, okay, I got the birthright. Now I'm gonna really take advantage of the situation. And I'm going to just try to summarize this part. But basically what happens is this. Isaac is getting really old. Okay, he can't see. And Isaac is the father of Jacob. And this is the really bad part where you're like tricking your parents. And so Rebecca, which is Jacob's mother, says, Hey, I just heard that your dad is going to bless Esau with the blessing. I need you to do something right now. I need you to go get the goats, because I'm going to put some goat skin on you and put some skin on that smooth skin of yours, because you got that smooth skin going. And remember, Esau's very hairy, so he had to, like, disguise himself. And by the way, I'll cook. Don't worry, Jacob. I'll cook for you. So Esau's going away and trying to get that blessing. Okay, so, and then he goes into Isaac's tent. And Isaac's like, who are you? And it's like, it's I, Esau. Totally lied to his dad, right? It's so sad he's blind. I mean, come on. And then so Jacob's like, yeah, I got the wild game for you. Here you go. And it's like, well, yeah, your voice, it sounds like Jacob. So come closer. So he puts his hand out, and Isaac's like, oh, yeah, you sound like Jacob, but you feel like Esau. And so the other interesting part is that he wears Esau's clothes as well. So he eats the wild game, and then Isaac actually says, oh, come closer. It's like, okay, I definitely think this is like Esau's clothes. So it kind of smells like Esau. And this is so weird because Jacob is actually like 70-something years old, and I don't know if when you guys read this, like, do you guys imagine, like, teenagers? Like, he's, like, in his 70s. Like, come on, your mom still dresses you? What's going on with that? Like, I mean, for goodness sake, Jacob, come on. Emotional damage right there. So he's putting on this costume. He's trying to be someone else. And I feel like that's what we do sometimes. We forget who we are in Christ. And we try to be like, oh, I'm Esau. I'm a person that God can use. I'm a speaker, but maybe you're not a speaker. Maybe you're an intercessor. I've seen so many times where we're trying to be like somebody else. Like, so for so many years, maybe for you, God has told you to pray, prophesy, but yet you do the exact opposite. Do you ever feel like that? Like, you're always putting on someone else's costume? Like, this is not who you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be somebody else, that you are a child of God and that you are unique. Let's stop putting on the costumes. Halloween is so awesome in terms of, like, the costumes and the arts and crafts. But, hey, I feel like sometimes that we put on our costume all year long. We need to take that costume off. We need to take our mask off. We need to stop having this false identity and putting on our true identity in Christ. And this is the point I want to make. God can't bless who you pretend to be. Stop pretending. Be who you are. It's okay to be yourself. You're designed in a unique way. You're an original design by God. It's okay. I understand. Maybe you want to fit in. Maybe you want to, hey, dress in a certain way. Maybe you want to talk in a certain way. Maybe you need to get a job in a certain way just to fit in. But maybe God has made you very unique. Maybe he made you for a different purpose. So we have this incident take place with Jacob. Totally lies to his dad, puts on this costume, Now he gets the blessing from Isaac. He got everything he wanted. I got the firstborn blessing. I got the blessing from Isaac. Oh, but he forgot something else. Esau is going to try to kill him. Esau was actually very, very sad when he found out that the firstborn blessing was taken away from him. He even went to his dad and said, bless me, bless me, bless me. And then Isaac, no, I can't. I can't bless you. So sad here at this moment. Talk about some issues. So Rebecca says, okay, you need to run away right now. You need to run away because Esau is going to kill you. And this is the point I want to make today. I just did this whole intro for just for this point. And it's this. We have Esau's in our life. We have things that we're running from. There's issues inside of us. What is your Esau today? And what are you doing about it? Can you trust God with it? Let's go to the next verse right here. I'm going to actually go forward. Okay, so we're going to transition out of Laban here. He gets the wealth. He gets the two wives. Don't get any funny ideas. Get the one wife, please. Okay? He gets the camels, the rams, the goats. He has all of this wealth coming for him now. Now, he has all this wealth around him. He has all these resources. Here, and this, in modern terms, is this. You have a great position in your corporate company. Oh, you have the house, the car. But there's still issues inside of you. You didn't deal with it. You ran away. So here we go. So Genesis 32, 19, 21. This is the setup for this whole message right here. Genesis 32, mark that in your Bible right now. He says this. He likewise instructed the second and the third and all who followed the droves. Okay, I want to stop right there. If you're confused about the whole thing, basically, he's going to meet Esau because he's going back to his homeland, all right? So he's having this whole plan of, like, two camps, and I need to set up different groupings. So Esau, if he attacks the one, then the other one gets scared. He's getting all scared. That's why he's doing this. So he says this, you shall say the same thing to Esau when you find him. Verse 20, and you shall say, moreover, your servant Jacob is behind us. So this is the part here. For he thought I may appease, which means pacify him with the present that goes ahead of me. And afterward, I shall see his face. Perhaps he will accept me. So the present passed on ahead of him. And he himself stayed that night in the camp. He's saying this. Maybe Esau will accept me. Because I have all this stuff now. I got the ram, I got the goat, I got the two wives. Don't get any funny ideas. Okay, I got the belongings now. So he starts to position himself where he's not putting himself forward. He's putting the presence in front of him to go forward to Esau. Remember the costume example I just said? It's this. He puts what's around him to hide what's going on inside of him. Are you catching this? He's hiding behind the herds. He's stepping back. He's saying, Esau won't kill me possibly if I put stuff in front of me and it will pacify him. I think there's a problem with us sometimes where we try to use our resources. You can keep going up the ladder in your job world. You can keep getting more money. You can keep getting more jobs. You know what's sad? I met some women about this. They keep saying, oh, the kids are my blessing, but they never dealt with the issue. Until you deal with the issue, you can't go further in life with the Lord. You guys are a little quiet today. It's okay. Okay. That was a punchline, so you guys are supposed to clap. So, yeah. So, all right. Here we go. But I'm going to pretend that you guys are just really pondering about all this, all right? You know, there was this thing where, you know, I feel like sometimes we just try to cover us up with just different stuff. I mean, it's so interesting. I even meet, like, prophets or apostles. I remember this one time, it was kind of strange. This guy went to a conference, and you know, when you go to a conference, you meet all these like pastors and apostles and different people. And then I remember this one guy, I was like, hey, what's your name? He's like, my name's Doctor. I forgot his full name, but he said like Dr. Ken or something like that. So I asked him like, hey, oh, you're a doctor? Like what hospital? You guys know where I'm going with this. All right, so I said, what hospital? He's like, oh, I don't work at a hospital. So I said, okay, that's cool. What school you teach at? Because, you know, doctors, they're, you know, PhD, right, academic. Oh, I don't, you know, I don't teach. And I said, okay, all right. So I was like, all right, you don't teach, you know, schooling, so you're a doctor. All right, so I was just so confused, like, why is he calling himself doctor? So I was like, okay, maybe he's, like, ordained. So I was like, yeah, do you go to church somewhere? He's like, oh, no. I'm like, wait, okay, so you're a doctor. All right, okay, so I'm just saying this. Sometimes we try to hide behind these titles that we create for ourselves. That is not who you truly are. We're putting on these costumes. We put hurts around us, and we don't want to present ourselves forward to the Lord and try, and we fail to find out our true identity in Christ. Are you guys doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not used to this quietness because last two times I came here, you guys were super loud, and now you're like the exact opposite. I'm really hoping you guys are just pondering. All right, here we go. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, here we go. Okay, all right. We got to make peace with our Esau. That's the whole point of this message. We forget to make peace with Esau. And it's almost like we're so focused on just like the stuff in life. We're so focused on the resource and the rams. We forget to make peace with our Esau. So the question I have for you today is, what are you hiding from? What are you running away from? What are you not looking at today? Make peace with your Esau. And this is what's happening with Jacob. He's like in this moment where he's like, okay, I'm about to meet Esau. And this is so stressful for me because I know he wants to kill me. I know he's mad at me. I don't know what's going on, but I know I have to face him because this is my destiny. God has called me to come back to my homeland. And I know God is there for me. But it's so hard when I feel like there's a lot of conflict inside. And I feel like I really cannot trust God in this sense because it's like, hey, God, I don't know if I should do this. Do you guys ever feel that way? You can say with your mouth, I trust God, but I don't know if I can really trust you with this exact problem, this Esau. Good. I remember a vulnerable moment here. I remember when I was younger, my dad was so heavy with this education path that he had set for me. He was like, you need to go to Stanford. And I'm like, okay, Dad, I'll go to Stanford, right? Just because you said it. You need to go to UC Berkeley. And I remember my dad and I had a huge fight because I said, I want to go to Bible college. And he's like, no money. that's what he said to me. And I was like, oh, my. It was just funny because he was actually telling me when I was younger, son, I need you to read the Bible. And I said, oh, I don't want to read the Bible. It's so boring. It makes me go to sleep. Yeah, and then as I got older, I think my dad was like prophesying, but he just didn't know it. And so I got to really love God's word, and I actually did end up going to Bible college, but it caused a conflict between me and my dad. And so what happened is that I remember my dad would fight all the time, and this is my Esau that I was going through. I had to face my dad. So I remember I was in church one time, and I was just having this vision mode. I was in this white room, and I just saw my dad, me and him, just in a chair, and he's right in front of me. And he would just, and I remember him just smiling at me. I saw this, that I don't think it was my dad. I really had some father issue. Are you guys getting this? This is not my dad I'm talking about right at this point. I think I had God of the Father issues here, that I didn't know if I can trust God the Father anymore. I don't know if I can see him anymore in that way. I trust Holy Spirit. I trust Jesus, but I don't know if the God the Father is the one who I trust. And so maybe for some of you, you love Holy Spirit, but maybe you don't trust one of the Godheads. Maybe you don't trust God the Father like I did. So I had to put this in front. And I said, God, would you heal our relationship? And I said, God, I ask for forgiveness. I want to have a good relationship with you, God the Father. And in some weird way, it just helped my relationship with my earthly dad. And I believe in this. When you do something in the spiritual realm, it activates something in the natural realm. Genesis 32, 22. All right. The same night, he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and he crossed the ford of the Jabbok. I don't know about you, but when I read this, I see the word Jacob, and I see the word Jabbok. Do you think they look kind of the same to you? I actually looked this up in Hebrew. They actually have a play on words. Like the Hebrew letters actually look the same. So here's the thing. Jacob had to cross over Jabbok. Okay, let me change that. Are you getting this? Jacob had to cross over to from Jacob. Jacob needs to get over Jacob. It's not the Esau that you are battling. It's you that you are battling. You need to get over yourself. It's time to cross over and fight the enemy within you. It's all about just putting it before God and trusting him. Get over yourself. It's you. It's not Esau. It's the enemy within me. It's the Jabbok that you need to cross. And so he crosses over. But before he does, he wrestles with this angel, scholars say, this man, this God, and Genesis 32, 24 says this, Jacob was left all alone. Sometimes you need to get alone with God. It's great. I love that you're coming here, but you need to have some isolation. Because when you have isolation, that's when you have the greatest revelation. Amen. And when you have revelation, you're going to have the greatest transformation. And that's what Jacob's going to get right here, right now. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. 25, when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob. He touched his hip socket. Now, I want to say this. Jacob's like 90 years old, okay? So I'm like reading this, okay, like of course his hip socket is going to get injured because he's old, right? And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him, 26. Then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he's saying this, look, God, I did it my way. I ran away. I went to Laban. I worked. God, now I'm going to put my trust in you because this Esau thing, I don't know if I can handle it anymore. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. Maybe for some of you, you need to hold on to God. Stop holding on to the prophet. There's a word for some of you here. Stop holding on to the apostle. Stop holding on to that guest speaker. Hold on to God. Don't let go. And say, Lord, bless me because you're the only person that can bless me. Not the prophet, not the apostle, not the pastor, not even your church. It's ultimately God alone. He can bless you. Can we just get an amen for that one? Yeah. I'm not letting you go, God. I need this. I need you to bless me. I'm a confusing individual. I have psychological issues. I have inner conflict. I'm weird. I like to cook and be with my mom. And she puts on clothes for me. And I got the two wives. Now I need to cross over. And this is what he does. He actually does cross over. And he's going to see Esau. Now, here's the thing. I want to point this out to you guys. Jacob is now looking at his internal issues. Okay, he's seeing Esau as the enemy. But now he's also saying that the enemy is within him. So now he's going to see Esau. Let's see what he does. This is the answer for all of you today. So it says this, Genesis 32, 27. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Okay, so when God asked, what is your name? He said, I'm Jacob. I'm heel grabber. I am supplanter. I am deceiver. I'm the one that tricked Esau. When he was asked, what is his name? He encompassed all that. I admit, I am Jacob. I'm the one that ran away and took the birthright. I'm the one with the issues. He admitted it. Can we admit our sins and our temptations today? And what we have going on? Jacob came clean. He was running away for years after years, for 20 years. He says, I am Jacob. And get this, 28, he says this. Then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. What does Israel mean? It means this, triumphant with God. You got a new name today. I believe that you are called more than just like Jacob. You're not just Megan. You're Megan, who's a saint, a child of God. You're not just Michael. I won't even say you're not even just an apostle, but you're a child of God and you're royal. You're more than just your title, Minister Charlotte. You're more than just a helper. You're a good mother. You love God. You pray. You're an intercessor. You're more than what you think you are. You are more than what you think you are. I want you to not put a title on yourself. God gives you a new name, and that you are holy, that you are royal, that you are a saint of God. You are a worshiper. You don't have to try any longer. You have a new identity in Christ, that you are a new creation. And don't worry no longer on the labels that the people try to put in this world and you try to put on this costume. Don't even worry about that anymore, that you are of a child of God, the Most High. Never fear anymore. Genesis 33, here we go. So Jacob looked up, and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two female servants. He did this because he loved Rachel more, and then he put Leah because he didn't like her so much, and then he put the other people in front so they can get, like, killed if Esau tried to attack them. And so verse 3, he said, he himself went on before them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. What he did, he sent out his stuff, right, in the beginning. But now he's like, he's going to send out himself. Do you see the message here? Remember, in the beginning, Jacob's like, okay, Esau's going to come. I'm going to meet with him. I'm going to appease him with the herds and the rams. I'm going to put out the herds and the resources. But now he's like, you know what? I'm going to trust God, and now I'm going to put myself out. Forget the herds behind me. Forget the resources. Forget your title. God, I put myself before you. I'm not going to put a costume on anymore. I'm just a child of God. I come before you, and I trust in you with this Esau situation. And some of you need to get to the end of yourself with this stuff, this costume. The word is this, that you don't have to put out stuff in front of you anymore. You can come to God. Freely, you just come forward and say, God, I worship you, not as CEO, not as apostle. I just worship you freely. Don't be concerned of the things of this world, but be concerned on what your Father is doing and about your Father's business. So Genesis 33:4, this is the last verse for today, and it's this. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. Okay, this is the key word. Esau ran. He did not walk. This is the prodigal story. Like when the father's running to see his son, Esau's running to meet with him and embraced him. The thing that Jacob was worried about, it's been handled. Don't worry about it anymore. God has a handle. Can somebody just say that? God has a handle. God has it handled. It's all good. The thing that you have to do is this, that when you deal with the issues inside of you, everything around you will be dealt with by God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Do you see why I did this sermon message right here? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in his ways. Don't put out the hurts in front of you anymore, but just go out before him, freely worship him, come before him, and worship him with all your heart. Amen.